Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Long, long time ago, in a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack. And I thought me and Qui-Gon Jinn could talk the Federation into maybe cutting them a little slack. But their response, it didn't thrill us. They locked the doors and tried to kill us. We escaped from that gas, then met Jar Jar and Boss Nass. We took a bongo from the scene and we went to feed to see the queen. We all wound up on Tatooine. That's where we found this boy. Oh my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
Well, good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there. Wow, what a beautiful day here in Long Beach. We are right across from the aquarium and right across from the Queen Mary. And wow, it is a beautiful, beautiful day. With us today, I've got Catherine with me.
Hello.
Oh, look at that lovely face. I love it. She's a guest co-hosted. Pretty soon you'll hear another voice, which is our friend Tina Anderson. And I am Sean Roberts, and together we are Your Weekly Dose podcast. And as always, we're streaming to you live, but not from Orange County. Right now we are streaming right across again from the lagoon here at the aquarium and at this Long Beach Seafood Festival. And it is an awesome day out here right now. We're looking at food trucks. We're looking at a lot of vendors selling hats, jewelry, clothes. It's going to be an awesome day. So if you get a chance, come on down and have some fun. Say hello to us. We're here from 11 to probably about, 12:30 or so, maybe a little bit after that. And then after that, we're getting out of here because we're going to go see the fishes in the aquarium. So that's what we want to do. So, yes.
Well, thank you for joining us this week and every week as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian, with the hopes of getting them into the Radio Hall of Fame. For those of you who have recently followed us, thank you for joining our family.
Oh my gosh, yes, and there's been quite a few people who have joined us on Facebook. A lot of mentions of us on the 25-year, Mark and Brian 25-year Facebook page too, so thank you. Especially to my buddy Hajime, he's been a listener of the program for quite a while. Thank you, buddy, for mentioning us. And a couple of people also who were going, hey, you know, we heard the Mark and Brian 25-year reunion and everything, you know, the show last week and everything. But Brian didn't talk too much about him. And so we kind of posted, hey, well, listen to our show because Brian was on our show. And people were really excited about that. And now they are fans. So we're real happy about that. Today, it is going to be a busy day since we're broadcasting live here from Long Beach. And, of course, we're listening to The Saga Begins by Weird Al Yankovic. Because, damn it, it is Star Wars Day. That's the best one you've done so far, Zach. I like that. And, of course, we do have to mention about Peter Mayhew, unfortunately, later on. So we got The Saga Begins again by Weird Al for Star Wars Day. And we'll be getting a couple of visits here from some of the vendors. I think Dale from Pearson Wines will be coming along and everything. And also views from the El Governator, which is a food truck. And also the gourmet churros and funnel cakes. What are they called?
Inglorious Funnel Cakes.
Inglorious Funnel Cakes and everything. So what was
just
that
think
guy?
Of the Inglorious Bastards logo.
What was that guy?
That was Dale saying hi to us. He's going to come over.
Oh, that was Dale. Okay.
He's going to bring us some goody drinkies.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool. So, yeah. And, of course, we got horoscopes today. We'll be talking about the Kentucky Derby. And so we possibly a pocket-sized cinema. So we just got a busy, busy day out here in lovely Long Beach.
And don't forget, you can interact with the show commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yes, and not only can you download the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe to the show from iTunes, Podbean.com, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. Most importantly, don't forget to rate and review the show as well. That's very, very important because we like to see those. And if you email us, we actually read some of those emails on the air. So we're pretty happy about that too as well. So I'm sure you can hear the music in the background there. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I got Catherine Heffler with me, though. How are you doing today, sweetie?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. She's been hobbling along here, poor things, with her. She's had surgery on her foot. She's a guest co-hosting with me today. And it's because Steve is still out in Utah. And so she's decided to come over with us. And oh, my gosh, it looks like we got some drinks already here. All right, sir. That's all right. Thank you.
Oh, my God, I can hear.
All right. Wow.
It's all bassy.
Cool.
Is that? Oh, oh yeah.
Oh, that's good. I think it's
over there. What is it? What are we drinking?
What are we drinking here, sir?
Creamsicle.
So my honey wine.
Okay.
Orange juice.
Okay. Oh, I can't have that. But that sounds so good.
Oh, because of the...
Because of coconut. But coconut's great.
It's a nut.
It is. Wow. It looks amazing, though.
You're
it looks,
nuts.
It tastes like a 50-50 bar. When you were a kid, the creamsicle
was a 50-50 bar. Oh, those are the best. 50-50 bars.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Dale, go ahead and sit down.
It looks amazing.
Please join us.
Yeah. So we got Dale here now already from Pearson Winery. And so how did you get into the winery business, Dale?
We got in the winery business kind of on like as like an accident. My brother pretty much invented wine without grapes, so our wine has no grapes in it.
How is that possible?
So what we did was, or what my brother did was, he took basically took grape juice and read it with medical instruments to find out its composition.
Okay.
And then we started with water, and then we recreated grape juice using natural ingredients or the readings of grape juice. So the same pH, specific gravity, sugar levels, vitamins, nutrient levels, things like that. And then once we had those readings matching grape juice, we then fermented that with champagne yeast.
Oh, wow.
So it's like an all-natural replacement for grape juice.
Wow.
That uses the natural environment instead of cutting everything down and then growing grapes.
And how long does it take to ferment, or does it happen almost automatically for you guys? Or
it took us like it took 3 years to figure out how to do it.
Okay.
Each batch, we individually number the batches. This is batch 5. It takes about a good 6 months before it's ready to be, you know, put into a bottle.
Uh-huh.
Fermentation's typically 2 to 3 weeks, but then we have to age it for several months.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
We age it on oak, just like a standard, you know,
barrel
standard wine. Yeah.
Okay.
Goes through all the same things except for just no grapes.
That is so interesting, though.
Yeah, it's called Saccaro. Uh-huh. So Saccaro is the Latin term for something that's from sugars.
Okay.
So basically what ours is a blend of agricultural sugars that's made to replicate grape juice. So that way, so my background, I'm actually a diver.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I do specialty, or I'm retired now, but a specialty underwater search and recovery work. And then my brother, who actually invented the wine, he flies flight rescue for a helicopter company down in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not really... We originally made this for our family.
Got it.
And then for our mom, right? You know, and then she was the first one to try it and be like, oh, you need to change it, right? And so once mom liked it, we started giving it out to people, and people were like, man, this stuff's really good.
Uh-huh.
You ought to sell it. And then both of our occupations are semi-high-risk occupation, right?
Right.
So we wanted to eventually get out of those lines of work and just sell our wine. So we've been at it for a few years now. We've got distribution throughout the state of California.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's been tough because we have a really good product that's we're the only people in the world that make this wine, literally, which is why we got picked up by a big distributor. It
wasn't right.
Because of my marketing genius or anything like that, right? And that's where we're at now. Like, we've got great distribution. We can make great wine. We also have a honey champagne.
Ooh.
So wine right here, I'll bring you some that's just the wine straight. And then we have the wine that's a honey champagne.
Yeah, that one I actually tried. That one's really, really good.
Yeah, that one's really good. So today what we're doing is, because this wine isn't made with grapes, it's really good for mixing stuff, right? So anytime you make a cocktail with wine, they generally suck, right?
Right.
It's just like,
it's just not something you do.
I mean, everybody's, you know, people have tried it.
I think the only good one you can really make is a sangria, and that's about it. Really.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So with this, the flavor profile is much different. It's much smoother. It's more balanced. And so it enables you to make cocktails with it that you couldn't make with regular wine from grapes.
Oh, okay.
So today we have a margarita over there that we're serving, which is the honey wine with just lime juice and orange juice,
okay.
All natural.
Can you have that?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
And then we have, this is the creamsicle with the honey wine with orange juice and cream of coconut. Then we have what we call the ultimate mimosa, which is our honey champagne with orange juice. And then we just have the standard honey champagne and our private reserve.
Nice, man.
So, yeah, we're trying to make a go of it, you know, out here today and getting hitting these different festivals and stuff
now,
like that.
Now, where are you located? Where's your company based out of?
So we're down in San Diego,
okay.
Out East County, down in Alpine out there.
Uh-huh.
And then our model is basically, so we have 63 acres out there that is a wildlife reserve now.
Oh, really?
That's fantastic.
Right. So the idea is that if you want to actually conserve nature and actually make a difference, you have to be able, unfortunately, to put a commercial value on nature.
True, yeah.
Because nowadays, if something doesn't really have a commercial value, it's very difficult to actually get people to get behind helping it out. People have great intentions, but money rules the world, right?
Unfortunately, it does,
that's
yeah.
That's how it is. So what we've been able to do is take natural habitat, not touch it at all. Like, literally, I have a chain link fence and 60 acres, and that we don't even touch a blade of grass.
Wow.
The bees leave the hive. They fly into the protected area. They harvest the wildflowers. They come back out. We take the wildflower honey, blend it with some orange zest and vanilla bean and other sustainable ingredients that are already out there. And then we add vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D till we bring it to the same exact levels as the grape juice and then ferment that instead of the grape juice. So we cause no environmental damage.
Very important.
We cut down no native plants. We use no herbicide, we use no pesticide, and we use 400% less water. So when you have grapes, you have to water them.
Right.
Right.
Just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes 400 gallons of water in irrigation per year to make 1 gallon of grape wine.
Right.
Wow.
So with ours, 1 gallon of water from, we have an artesian well, 1 gallon of water makes 1 gallon of wine. So we're 400% more efficient in water usage. So our aquifer levels stay extremely high on the property, which allows the stream in the property to continue running, which allows all the wildlife that depends on the stream, the deers, the bobcats, the mountain lions, all that stuff,
right,
to be able to have a good habitat to live in. So it's kind of a way to utilize a natural habitat and turn it into a profit. So people are hopefully more apt in the future, if this can continue and perpetuate, that the more of this type of wine gets sold, the more habitat has to be put aside in order to help it.
To
like, we
it,
could
right.
literally harvest a national park. I can go in, put hives on the side of a national park, the bees fly into the park, hit the flowers, come
right.
back out, we get the honey, all the plants get pollinated. Not 1 foot gets stepped into the national park.
Wow.
And then we get to turn around
and sell the
make
product.
Revenue off
right.
of that, right? So, and it also works good with agriculture. So we'll use alfalfa honey, which is a natural wildflower.
Right.
And what we're able to do is if an alfalfa farmer has a field of alfalfa, normally he would just irrigate that field and harvest it, right?
Yeah. Right.
And then he has his hay. So with our business model, he plants that alfalfa. We have the bees go in and harvest the honey off the alfalfa. And so we actually have a beekeeper, professional beekeeper, do that for us.
Oh, okay.
So now the alfalfa guy's making money. The beekeeper guy's making money.
We're saving the bees.
We're saving the bees, right. And then he gives us the honey, and then we're making money. And like what you said, it directly promotes the health of bee colonies.
Which is so important.
It's not,
for
yeah,
everything.
Exactly. It's not, there's a lot of people out there, and I'm not knocking how people are helping, because any help is good, right? But it's one thing to sell a product and give a certain percentage of donations to whatever cause you want to help the bees. With our business model, we directly spend literally tens of thousands of dollars goes directly to the beekeepers. They are part of our supply chain. So the more wine we create, the more the beekeepers are going to be promoting the health of hives, creating new hives, expanding their, you know, their stock of bees. So it like directly not just helps preserve land, saves water, but it also directly helps the health of bees.
Overall, in general,
and it's something to where we have to use the beekeepers, because of the amount of wine that we can make. I can't personally like harvest enough honey myself from my own hives out there, right? So it's better for the overall industry, because we can actually promote other businesses that are taking care of bees in nature to work with us.
Which is great. And then, I mean, overall, it's a good cause no matter what you're doing. It's still naturally and everything. And it seems like it's no matter what, it's a win-win situation for everybody all around.
Absolutely.
So, and that's a great way to do it. So, again, we're talking to Dale from Pearson Winery, Pearson Brothers Winery. If people want to go online, Dale, where can they find you guys at?
PearsonBrothersWinery.com. You can also catch us on Facebook, Pearson Brothers Winery on Facebook, also Instagram. I try to put pictures of bees in slow motion and stuff like that flying around. You
awesome,
know?
Man. And if people are down in San Diego, where can they go find you at in San Diego? Where can they visit or even find the products?
So we're in a lot of stores. It just depends on if they're in stock or not. It's one of those things where if you want one of these products, the best thing for you to do is either order it online from us or go to your local store and just tell them, hey, I want you to carry Pearson Brothers Saqqara wine here because we have enough distribution where we can put it in that store. We have statewide distribution. So now it's just a matter of getting the word out. This is kind of where we're at right now, is that we've got this product to this point, but I'm a diver. Mikey flies Flight Rescue. We don't know. I've learned that I don't know anything about marketing wine. Right.
Also, okay. Sammy Hagar did the same thing, you know, and he made his tequila and then sold it for $85 million. So you guys are on the right tracks. I think you guys are doing
good. I'm
not
as cool as Sammy, but I'm trying. Sammy's got the cool factor going, you know.
No, he does. He does. And he's a cool guy. So, Dale, thank you so much for stopping by.
No worries,
appreciate
man.
It. And I'll make sure before we leave out, too, or whatever, that we'll swing by and say,
come by.
And say
have
hello
some
again.
Drinks.
So, absolutely, my friend. Thank you for stopping by and saying hello
a lot,
to us.
You guys.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Right.
And again,
take
that's Dale
it easy.
From,
I'll talk to you guys soon.
And once again, that's Dale from Pearson Brothers Winery. And again, very organic, very natural way of doing things. So it's kind of cool.
I'm so here for that.
I know.
I think it's so important that we preserve the land that we live in. And bees are definitely a way to do that. And, you know, if we can combine all of that stuff together and still get alcohol, I'm all for that.
It's like bees save the world and drink. Yes! Absolutely. I wish you could have this, though. This is really, really good.
Yeah, allergies suck.
It's very, I don't know, how'd you describe it, Zach? Because you had a taste of it, too, didn't you?
It's like, it kind of reminds me of like a Warhead candy just kind of turned into an alcoholic beverage. Is that the one that's a little tart?
No, this is the 50-50
bar. Yeah, this is the 50-50 bar, like the ice cream bar or whatever.
Oh, the creamsicle one.
Creamsicle.
Yeah, creamsicle.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. I thought you guys were doing the other one. Yeah, it kind of tastes like a popsicle creamsicle.
Melted in a cup.
Yeah, melted in a cup with a little bit of a buzz.
Which it looks like.
Yeah.
Exactly what it looks like.
That's all I'm saying right now. So, Well, listen, it's been over a week now since we had the reunion show of Mark and Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And what a show that was. What a treat. I know everybody was excited to hear the guys back together again. And for 4 hours, we definitely got that. And a woman is carrying a tray of crawfish now.
Oh, my God!
Wow.
That's a sight.
That is a sight. Holy cow, lady.
Well, we are at a seafood festival.
Yes, we are. We are broadcasting live from the Long Beach Seafood Festival. And, boy, that looks good. But anyway, but the guys did 4 hours. It wasn't enough time. We all knew that and everything. And I had a chance to talk with Laura Stringer afterwards. And God bless her. You know, she did a hell of a job putting that show together. And she was saying as the show was moving along and the guys were getting a little wordy and everything, that they realized they had to start cutting things out, you know, by the end of the show. And, of course, Brian.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and Brian made a comment. He goes, you know, with all the stuff that we want to do, I think we have to go to midnight. I'm like, well, do it then. You know? But anyway, but if you didn't catch it, they got to talk about being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, of course, their friend Gabe Jackson was in the room and helped explain how they're going to be getting into the Radio Hall of Fame. So can we go ahead and play that, please,
we
with Gabe Jackson?
We want to learn more about this esteemed organization. So with us to tell us more about its history and some of the other members is Gabe Jackson, a self-described Radio Hall of Fame expert.
Yes, good morning, Mark and Brian. How are you?
Really good, Gabe. How are you?
Just doing fine. Let me start off by wishing you a belated happy Easter.
Thank you.
And to all our Jewish friends, uno burrito, por favor. Incidentally, for the life of me, I can't figure out why you guys have taken like 6.5 years to contact me. I don't remember banging your wife or filling up your dog, but... entirely possible, I suppose. Not to get too into it, but I had a few rough years.
Did you?
Yeah, spurred on by Mexican opiates and the depression over the cancellation of CSI New York.
Really sorry to hear it, James.
You know, I never woke up in my own pool of vomit, but I did wake up in pools of several people's vomit, including Mickey Rourke's and Vin Scully's.
Bad news.
As you know, the Radio Hall of Fame is located in Cleveland. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I mean, who in their right mind would put a Hall of Fame of any kind in Cleveland? No. The Radio Hall of Fame is located in the Big Apple, Chicago, Illinois. The state of terrestrial radio has never been stronger, kind of like cargo shorts and fidget spinners. And the Radio Hall of Fame will be there to celebrate it every step of the way.
Fidget spinners.
The Radio Hall of Fame was founded in 1974. In order to honor every radio DJ who refused to play Paper Lace's song, Billy Don't Be a Hero. Even so, Billy Don't Be a Hero remains today as the most covered single of all time, maintaining a slim lead over Grand Funk Railroad's flaming bag of crap, The Locomotion. Now, there's only one way to be nominated. When you hear the Aerosmith song Dream On, you must be the 12th caller and then say the phrase that pays. The Radio Hall of Fame, you'll be glad you came. Radio personalities are inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame based on the votes of a 3-judge panel consisting of Judge Judy, Judge Reinhold, and Annie from the Popeye's Chicken commercials. Popeye's Chicken, unlike Chick-fil-A, we have no problem with the gays. Little commercial there. Incidentally, Mark and Brian, I'd love to throw my hat into the ring to host your induction ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I understand that your top choices are either Shadow Stevens or Holdor from Game of Thrones.
I say Shadow Steve with 100%.
There are more than 100 members in the Radio Hall of Fame, and some of them are so successful, they don't have a roommate.
Wow.
Yes.
Impressive.
Some of the most famous members include Wolfman Jeff. Macy Kasem. Rick D's Nuts. And, of course, Rush Rimjob. The Radio Hall of Fame is incredibly difficult to get into unless, of course, you're the daughter of Felicity Huffman. Every inductee to the Radio Hall of Fame gets three things. An induction ceremony, validated parking if the ceremony lasts less than 30 minutes, and a coupon for a free fire-roasted Philly roast beef sandwich at Arby's. Arby's, taste the rainbow. In conclusion, I want to congratulate you guys on a truly prestigious honor, and it couldn't happen to two more deserving fellas. And it's great to hear that you're both getting your own drive time show on KRCH The Crotch. So enjoy that. Sticks tickets?
Absolutely, Gabe. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Enjoy.
For your time.
Good luck when you're coming in.
Yes. The great Gabe Jackson.
Oh, my God. And there you go. So there's a brand new Mark and Brian bit for you guys if you missed it. What did you think of it, Catherine?
Well, that was just ridiculous. That was just silly.
I like it. Arby's, taste the rainbow. So good. This is the reason why these guys need to be in the Radio Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Just that alone, you know. And of course, you can't deny Mark's laugh. I mean, Mark looked like he was going to burst the left lung or something on that one.
Contagious. It's contagious laughter.
He has a very contagious laugh, and it's a very distinct laugh. And I remember Brian telling a story one day where I guess he was on a date, and they went to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to go see a comedy, and he heard Mark's laughter in the same theater.
Oh, my gosh.
He goes, oh, Mark's here. Okay, you know, it's just that distinct.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, oh, God, it was so good to hear, though, and so good. So, there you go, guys. If you missed it, there it is, a little bit of it. And, of course, you can catch all, 3.5, 4 hours, whatever, of their broadcast, basically, right now on KLOS. You can also find it on the Mark and Brian Facebook page, 25-year Facebook page. There's a bunch of links on it. We have it on our Facebook page, too, Your Weekly Dose. So go off, take a listen to it, download it, and enjoy it. Such a good thing. So, all righty. We're back, right? Zach's back?
Yep, I'm back.
All right, cool. Let's get Tina in here.
Yeah.
Come on in, darling.
I'm promoting it.
Go ahead, finish your tweet.
She's promoting. I love it. And, of course, the lovely Tina Anderson.
Woo!
Oh, my God. You got her bucket? There you go.
I'm saying tune in live right now. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. How are you, sweetie?
You know what? I am fantastic. Right after spin class, jumped in the shower really fast. Although, okay, here's the deal. Don't get grossed out, but I forgot flip-flops. Gym shower, no flip-flops.
You mean you're not wearing a thong right now?
So I literally, I didn't hear that.
Does your husband know?
No, so I literally was on my tiptoes the whole time. I didn't want to put my heels down and about fell on my ass. But anyway, I'm showered and I'm just posting on Facebook right now. Tina Anderson OC, tune in live now. So anyway, yes, thank you.
How are you, sweetie?
Good.
You look lovely. Look at this ensemble.
I'm an ensemble.
Both of my ladies look lovely today.
How do I look?
She looks more summery.
You
than
look like
I do.
The usual self.
I thought it might be cold. I'm gonna move.
I did too.
Look at that.
But it's nice.
Legs and everything. I love the shoes.
Thank you.
You got the gladiator shoes going on there.
Okay, there we go. Sorry, jeez Louise, I'm a mess, right? Okay, I got it. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. How was the drive down, or it drive was, up? I should say.
The drive was fine. I had a little traffic closer here, but you always do.
Yeah.
I used to do a radio show right off of the pier area in. Seal Beach?
Oh, okay.
Area, yeah. So I'm kind of used to this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of used to it. There's always a little bit of traffic on the 710. You know what freaks me out? Those big giant-ass trucks and stuff that you can't see.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I
they drive me
the big
real
trucks that you can't see.
You can't see around them.
Oh, you can't see around them. Oh.
Sorry. Let me catch up on my words.
Can't see.
You didn't understand that? I just missed part of the sentence. I thought you would catch
I picked up on that.
Did you?
Yeah,
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
Fellow girl. I'm Tina. It's
I'm
nice
Catherine.
It's so nice to meet
nice
you.
Nice to meet you.
Catherine with a K?
With a K.
Yes.
Okay. Only way to spell it.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
She tried it with a W. It didn't work.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Catherine, yeah.
It's a silent W.
It's a silent W.
Yeah. K-W.
So what do you think of the whole festivities going on, Tina?
So far, I am quite impressed because they weren't letting people in. They're like, we're sold out. That's what they said.
Wait, what?
Wow.
Really?
They weren't letting sold out?
They were saying at the front, people were trying to get in and said, sorry, we sold 5,000 online. You can't get in. But I think what they're doing is watching people walk out and then letting people in because I don't want to tell anyone not to arrive, not to show up, but wow. It doesn't look like 5,000
here. No. It looks more like 10,000.
Yeah, it's or 40 or something like
42,
that.
42, yeah.
So I'm new 42. To it, so I'm assuming it's all trucks. And
well,
you get
we've
to
got the food trucks down here, okay. And then, of course, on the sidewalk here behind us where we're at, because we're facing the lagoon, basically, and kind of facing the backsides of the aquarium.
Oh, right.
And so we've got the food trucks in front of us. We got these round tables in front of us, too. It's awesome. And then, of course, behind us, we've got all these other different vendors of clothes and flags and
jewelry
and everything.
Yeah.
And shirts. Like right next to us right now, we got the hat people here. And then you got more food.
Okay, got it.
You got like alligator food over there. There's some like alligator and frog legs and everything.
There are not.
Yeah,
there are.
Okay, I'm not turning around.
Turn around. Look at frog legs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
I told
you. So I just have to tell you, how.
But it tastes like rabbit, so it's okay.
I am sacrificing the way that I normally live because you probably don't know this, but I'm pretty much vegan. So this is really
awesome.
Interesting for me. I'm reading like, we'll boil live crawfish. I'm like, oh God.
No.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm fine.
Let me
I'm
help
fine.
You though.
Yes.
There's beignets over here.
Okay, well, there we go. Yeah.
You're in good company. I'm a pescatarian.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I don't do the whole live and.
So anyway, but I'm fine because everyone needs to do what they need to do. I don't judge people. I do my thing, and that's what I always tell people. I'm a friendly, loving, I'm not an angry, militant vegan, and there are some, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I my family is not, so it's all good.
But there is everything here, though.
Yeah.
The Cajun stuff, like alligator bites, frog legs, like we mentioned.
But we do alligator.
We do have the beignets. There's kettle corn. There's smoothies.
It's almost like you said bidet, like you could go to the bathroom.
Beignets.
Like there's a bidet
beignets.
For you to go to the bathroom.
Beignets?
Beignets. Is
that
beignet.
Beignets. Close enough.
You know,
it's French.
Yeah.
Close enough. I got a stuffy nose. And then what else we got?
I want that alligator. I'm about to go there.
Well, of course, because, it's a seafood, so there's live crawfish that they're boiling over here, too.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, look, she's got a tray right now.
Oh, my God!
That looks good.
That's the live crawfish.
Oh, my
that
God.
What does a crawfish taste like?
That's a good question.
Or is it just the seasoning you put on it, Cajun seasoning?
I don't know.
Let's, we should get someone and ask them.
We should.
You know what? I'm not going
to
produce your show, Zach, but maybe we could find someone who's... can we get someone who's got crawfish and ask them
what it really tastes like?
See what it tastes like, yeah.
You want me to just pull them back up here?
Well, shouldn't it be like a lobster or a shrimp or...
I don't know what... Everyone talks about how great they taste, but are they
sweet? You
want
me to just go buy one? I'll just go buy one because I'm hungry.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'm on. Okay. All right.
And
okay, got it.
See if you can find one that's not being boiled alive, just one that's done.
I
don't have to see that.
Me neither. I'm good if I never see that in my life.
Oh, my God.
What's that?
Boiled alive anything.
Oh, yeah.
Except for a potato. You can boil alive a potato. That doesn't hurt me.
Well, I wouldn't want a rotten one.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that it's, if it's sprouting, it's still alive, right?
There you go. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
But there's a lot. There's shrimp, too.
Oh, what a
I'm
treat.
I'm sure. There's got to be shrimp, lobster, and...
That's what I'm looking for is a lobster.
Right? And there would have to be crab.
Crab.
And there would have to be...
Yes, I saw a crab thing and mussels.
And what's the popular appetizer?
Oh,
calamari.
Calamari,
And
yes.
Is there also...
clams.
Clams. And is there the other... Yeah. And then the other one that my husband likes, I can't remember now.
There's
anyway.
A lot. So come on down to the sold-out show, It's
come on. Just come down and
if, I'm sure you'll
if you
get
can
in.
Get here, you'll get in.
And if you can't get in, we're right across from the aquarium. Jump in the water, swim across from the boats to the other side.
Yeah.
You'll see the gray porta-potties. Hop out, dry off, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Nobody's going to stop you or arrest you. Don't worry. They're not going to think
that something's
wrong
with you. Yeah, because
all the
security is over at the main gate, so they don't know. So they're
okay. They're not going to see you, and we're not going to tell when we see you. You're fine.
Well, you
anyway.
Know what? I'm going to pass these out.
What have I missed today so far? Because I was trying
not,
to get
not
here.
Not a whole lot.
Okay. So didn't miss much.
But we do need to do our, since it is the first of the month, though, and we definitely try need to do our horoscope. So let's go ahead and jump into that. So, Pisces.
Yes.
That'd be you.
Are you a Pisces?
I am. I'm Pisces, Aries, cusp.
Oh, you're on the cusp. I'm an Aquarius, Pisces.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
March 20th.
Oh, wow. February 18th.
Ah, see, wow. There you go.
All
look
right.
at that.
Okay.
They're
Pisces.
Bonding, folks. They're bonding.
There we go. Pisces. Oh. Yeah.
I don't have Pisces.
All right,
Pisces.
So here we go. What do you believe and why? Where do you believe come from? On May 4th, that's today, the Taurus new moon is asking you to open your mind to the possibilities. You're learning information that could be mind-blowing or at least cause you to question what you thought was real.
Oh, I already do that a lot. I don't need any more of that.
It might take a while to digest all that is coming through, but be patient with the process and keep an open mind as the month progresses. On the 15th, Venus enters Taurus and Mars enters Cancer, marking a very creative period for you. It's also time when you can have heartfelt conversations that bring you a deeper understanding of others and a situation allowing you to get on the same page. May 18th marks the Scorpio full moon, bringing you greater insight into a situation. It will rearrange your perceptions, but there's a need for perspective. We don't see reality as it is. We see it as we are. Avoid judgment, and you can start to see the infinite creativity possibilities in a situation. An idea is genius. Believe in it and yourself and lead with your heart.
Aww.
Wow, stereo.
Aww.
So there you go. There's Pisces. So what can you add to that, Tina, for her?
Well, I was just going to, I've got to quickly add her year. I can do her cycle year. So help me with this. Let's see. So it's 320.
320.
Yeah, 320. So 3 plus 2 is 5 plus 2 is 7. Plus 1 is 8, plus 9 is 17, right?
Don't forget to carry the 4.
And 1 plus, what did I say it was?
17.
1 plus 7 is 8, so you're a year cycle 8. So I can give you a quick synopsis of your year cycle if I can see it over here. Yeah, I can. So year 8, your good words are leadership, abundance, recognition, and maturity. This is your whole year if you look at your kind of numerology and the cycle.
Okay.
So if we just want to quickly give her that, it's 8 is, by the way, you guys, 8 is a number of abundance, and it's the infinity. So it's a continuous thing. But when you have 8 show up, that's typically a sign of abundance if you are willing to walk that path.
Absolutely.
So you have a year of abundance coming, but abundance can be in love. It can be financial. It can be abundance of whatever it is that you would like more of in your life. So, but you have to be willing to open up to that. And it sounds to me like even though the Aries will lead you from your thoughts, the Pisces is a feeling watery sign, and that's where you will find abundance if you equal out what you know by what you feel. You can't, you've got to go back and forth on that, right?
Find the balance. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to find the balance on that. And what else do I have on that for 8? Energies. You can accomplish whatever you set your mind to, but you got to be flexible, if I remember on this one. It's very much about practicality and for me, I would say spirituality, but whatever word you want to put in there. Okay, so it's about both of them. So it's really balanced, but the power is yours to take in a good way if you are in alignment with that. So it's quite positive. It doesn't mean you won't have challenges because the good things usually come with a little bit of challenge, but
Absolutely.
It feels right.
Nice.
Positive.
Yeah. I'm here
Good.
For it.
Yeah. yeah.
Sounds
Good.
Like what it's happening so yeah. far. So.
Yeah. So,
This is all from the great Tina Anderson. She is our coach's special spiritual coach here with us on Your Weekly Dose.
Yeah.
And you can find her on her website, which is TinaAndersonOC.com. Right?
Yep.
And so check it out. I mean, she does this all the time. All right. So you got Gemini.
Yes. Oh, I got Gemini. Okay. Who am I doing Gemini for? You.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. How bad is my month going to be?
Let's see. All right. So Gemini, here's the deal. Your ruler moves through these signs, three signs this month, suggesting you're covering a lot of ground, which is normal. Gemini's, you know, two heads. Gemini's go back and forth all the time.
I'm so confused.
As you enter May, you're learning who your friends are and who's in your corner. Not all of this may be easy, but be grateful and you can strengthen friendships that matter. We talked about this last time.
A little bit,
remember?
Yeah, yeah.
I said you have a duality going on this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is still part of it. Well, if this is your whole year. Taurus new moon on May 4th. That's today. Mercury entering Taurus. So anytime you see Taurus, you guys, Taurus is a sign of grounding and loving nice things.
Like that's
your,
me.
Your Taurus friends like nice things typically.
See, I told you guys.
Like to be pampered. So if you
exactly.
want to help him out, pamper him with something. They like nice things. They like to feel pampered and loved and nurtured.
Sean, come here, pamper me.
Yeah.
I'll get him a pedicure.
This draws you underground to seek a greater reason for your existence. Be open to sudden realizations or weird dreams, awakening you to subconscious ideas that prevent you from making progress. These need to be consciously uprooted. So in other words, anything strange that comes to you in a dream or a thought, it's part of your awakening. So don't ignore it. On the 15th, Venus joins the Sun and Mercury in Taurus and Mars enters Cancer. If you're wondering where the resources for something will come from, rise above your insecurities. You are worth a lot more than you realize. May 18th, Scorpio full moon. Scorpio, super, super psychic, intense, sexual. Just so you know, May 18th, Scorpio full moon, bringing sudden changes at work or in your daily routines.
All right. All right.
So maybe instead of having sex once a day, you could have it three times.
Ooh.
Your wife's going to be like, don't say that. Just stop it. Stop it.
Well, the
changes you make now can take you closer to manifesting a dream. By the 21st, the Sun and Mercury return to your sign and meet in conjunction, bringing you to a moment of truth. So as usual, Geminis are all over the place. You are being asked to really to take your deep dives when you're being asked to and sit with them.
Okay.
And really, really either journal or think or write because you're a musician. What am I getting from this that maybe I haven't seen before? Deep dive.
Cool. All right, and we got one more, Taurus, right?
We do have Taurus.
And that's going to be for Zach.
Hello, Zach.
Yes.
Taurus, you are coming into your own this month, and it's time to rock and roll.
Woo!
Even if at all times it feels like walking in the dark, have more faith in yourself and existence. Hmm. The Taurus new moon on May 4th marks a new personal cycle and the official beginning of a 7-year phase of prolific growth.
Sweet.
On the 15th, Venus enters your sign until June 8th. On the same day as Mars enters Cancer, your communication zones, you can attract, create, and or have what you need, perhaps even what you want.
Hmm.
Be clear, gentle, and honest, and you'll get on the same page with your significant others.
Huh.
On May 18th, Scorpio full moon marks the culmination of a relationship.
Aww.
Well, my birthday is next week, so that's pretty exciting.
What a treat. You're awakened to a whole new depth of emotions and desires, asking you to love, accept, and embrace yourself wholly. On the 21st, the Sun and Mercury enter Gemini and meet in a conjunction, bringing a moment of clarity, truth, and insight regarding a financial or personal commitment. Be true to your values and recognize your worth. Even if that means letting go of old aspirations, trust that you're realigning with your true path.
Oh, wow.
That is so heartwarming.
What was he a four? What, do you remember? It was like a month ago, but I'd have to. What's your birthday and date, not year?
May 10th.
Okay, so 5 plus 1 is 6, plus 2 is 8, plus 1 is 9, plus 9 is 18. Yeah. That's not right, though. I don't think he was a 9. I thought he was a 1, 2, or 3 on his year. 5 plus 1 plus
2. That's 6. Well, 5 plus 1 is 6.
Carry the 5.
Plus 2.
That's 8.
Plus 1.
9.
Plus 9.
That's 18.
Yeah, 18 plus 1. No, he's a 9.
9.
I got that wrong the last time? Why was I thinking Zach wasn't... Wow. I'm confused. I confused myself. So real quickly, Zach... You're 9. For some reason, I was thinking, what the heck?
He's adding it up.
Oh.
Yeah, just doing the number. Let's
so
see.
Your year is about service, integration, and forgiveness.
Ooh, big
oftentimes,
one.
By the way, Zach, forgiveness is not for others. It's for yourself. A lot of fear, a lot of things that make us angry or frustrated are deep-seated in a guilt over not achieving something, not doing something, not being who we're supposed to be or whatever. So be very careful with forgiveness and understand that can go a lot deeper than somebody else doing something against you.
Tina, could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Could you tell my mom and repeat everything you just said?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
And more importantly, can I record it on video and put it on VHS?
Yes, you can. So you're at kind kind of year nine is like the end. It's one year is not better than another. It's but year nine, Zach, is more of a year of completion, of endings, of a compilation. So really think about tying up loose ends and what's important to you and how you move forward. Get rid of the extraneous stuff that doesn't serve you anymore and the energies.
Sounds like I'm in the end game now.
Yeah, it's kind of it's
reference.
Getting you into alignment, and anything that's painful that resurfaces for you or whatever you have going on is time to release that. Time to deal with it and release it.
I will release my Kraken.
There you go.
All
right, and there's our expert Tina Anderson with today's horoscopes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And if you're in the area listening to the show or anything like that, pop by our booth over here.
Yeah.
We're right across from the, Ingenious? I can't say it.
Inglorious?
That one, yeah.
What is it?
Inglorious Funnel Cakes.
The Inglorious Funnel
Cakes. Which we have.
Oh, she's here right now?
Yeah, she's right by.
Awesome.
Right here.
Oh,
right.
Inglorious Funnel Cakes.
Oh, hi.
So,
wait, is that that one right there?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because where's the Inglorious? You don't see it.
The things are closed,
up.
I guess. Yeah, go ahead, have
on
a
the
seat.
Flippers.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Those look like churros. They're churros. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you said that well.
SOS churros, see?
S-O-C-K-S.
Esos churros de México, de un recipe de México, or solamente es...
That's the thing I know how to do.
She's like, I don't speak Spanish. Don't talk to me that way. Me gusta mucho los churros.
All right.
All right,
and,
anyway.
What is your name?
My name is Isabel.
Hi, Isabel. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
And you are from Inglorious Funnel Cakes?
Yes.
All right, cool. Tell us about your funnel cakes and what you guys do here.
Well, we just started in September. It'll be a year in September.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. So we do funnel cakes, we do churros, mm-hmm. we do deep fried Oreos.
She said it better than me.
We
she
have strawberry lemonade drinks.
She did.
Churros. All sounds amazing.
Churros. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, what made you guys decide to get into that type of business?
I was done with working for someone else.
Yep.
And I told my husband it's time to do something else for us.
Uh-huh.
So we both got out of the business and we went into this.
What business were you in before?
I was just, secretarial work.
Desk job, completely different, behind the desk.
Yeah.
Very different, though.
Yes.
Very different.
And my husband was worked for DirecTV.
Okay.
And we both decided, we have enough money set aside. Let's just do it.
That's fantastic.
Good for you guys.
And we went for it.
And how has business been this past year for you guys so far?
Slowly but surely, we're getting there, and we're spreading our name, and it's a slow process.
Yeah, it's building
not
a business.
Lie,
but
right. Now, I'm seeing that there's a number of different types of things here on your truck. So what kind of toppings do you have when you do the regular funnel cake type of things?
So we have the fresh strawberries. We have
turn it up!
Exactly. Okay.
All right, sorry.
Well, you had to say that.
You have to do that with that song.
You have to do that.
Yeah. For sure.
I was thinking it. I'm glad you said it. I didn't want to say it. You got to turn it. Sweet Home Alabama.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So we do the fresh strawberries, fresh bananas, the strawberry toppings.
Oh.
We do the Oreo cookies, the create your own. We have Fruity Pebbles, Reese's Pieces, brownies, whatever you want to put on it, we have it.
I'm able to do it. Wow, that is
so good.
So good.
So our truck is we're big Quentin Tarantino fans, so it's based off of the characters.
Okay.
So each cake has a similar name to a name of the character.
Oh.
Correct.
So now, did you guys also design it to where it kind of like represents the character as well, though, or just the name and only?
Well, the name, Inglorious Funnels, Inglorious Bastards.
Right.
The names of the cakes, we have a Gorlami. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the movie. Gorlami, the De Coco, the bear. You guys know who the bear is, right?
Oh, that's funny.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
So whose idea was it to go down that road?
So between my husband and I, we have four kids.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And they're all, some of them are in their 20s, some of them are in their teens. And we spoke, it was a whole family. We sat them down and said, we put a few names down And we all came into a unanimous decision to say, okay, it's going to be this. Uh-huh. And everyone started throwing ideas. Why don't you name this this? Like, uh-huh. name the cake the bear.
Right.
Or name the cake the Aldo. Like, the Aldo that we have is the big monster, like, big.
Everything's on it.
Everything. Mac Daddy of everything.
That's cool.
Right. So it was a family decision.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Right.
So
nice.
Truly a family business.
Yes. Yes.
That is very, very cool. Now, you guys have just the one truck right now, or?
For now.
For now. Okay.
For now. We're working on, hopefully, you know.
Getting a second truck.
Yeah,
and kind
expanding,
of moving forward,
yeah.
On that. Cool. How many festivals like this do you guys do a year?
So with this one, it would be, this is our fourth.
Okay.
We did the Cherry Blossom in Orange County. We did a few in Huntington Park. This one.
Okay.
So.
And so outside of the festivals, where do you guys normally go to get your business?
We're based in Long Beach. I grew up in Long Beach all my life. So we're actually right across where the Pike is.
Oh, okay.
Right in front of the Ferris wheel is where you're going to find us Friday through Sunday.
Oh.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Very cool. I think, you know, if you get a second truck for sure. Since he's also a local guy, Gabriel Iglesias, and name it
yes.
after him and call it the Fluffy Waffle.
Oh, my
you know.
Gosh.
And yeah, because he lives here in Long Beach.
Oh, there
too.
You go.
He lives in Signal Hill, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and then you name something after one of his jokes, you know, the taco truck and put
right.
jalapenos on it or something.
Right.
Or whatever. And oh my God, Zach brought us a bunch of other things too.
Sorry.
Holy cow.
So much.
No worries. No worries. Cool. So if people want to find you on social media, where can they go?
So we're on Facebook, we're Instagram, and we're on Twitter.
Okay.
So at Inglorious Funnels. For Instagram, it's Inglorious_Funnels.
Okay.
And then for Facebook and Twitter, it's at Inglorious Funnels.
Nice. Very cool. All right.
Congratulations.
Yes.
I'm just turning my headphones up a little.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right. Cool deal.
Well,
cool.
These look amazing.
Yes, they do.
Thank you.
So
I hope you guys
enjoy.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much.
We'll definitely come down, take a picture, whatever. We'll post
love
it on our
entrepreneurs.
Website,
for sure. That's awesome.
Thank you guys
and
so
congratulations.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. These look amazing. And so does the food.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I mean, I don't eat meat. I know you don't either, but it
well,
still looks amazing.
Try some of that, right?
Yeah.
Try some of that.
Oh, my God. This takes me back to my childhood.
I officially love gator.
There's dipping sauces as well.
He bought gator.
He said, is that the gator? No. That's
yeah, the little small pebble-looking ones, those are gator.
These are gator? What's this one?
Where did
catfish.
Where do you think they brought that in
catfish.
From?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Florida.
So these are gator balls here or something, or what?
It's gator meat. That's all I know.
What?
They look like could be gator balls.
That's why I'm asking.
You know, you're right. They could call them that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, have you ever seen the gator's balls?
No, gator pebbles.
Pebbles.
Could be gator pebbles.
Too. Yeah, they look like rocks.
Do you want to try any of this, Catherine?
Oh, I'm good.
You're good?
I
okay.
am full.
But it looks good.
Oh, my God. It's just so good.
Really?
Yeah.
What does it taste like?
Chicken.
Yeah, they always taste
everything.
Okay, listen,
like
everything. When I was camping as a young girl, and they had the pork, and it was the pig balls, and they always say the oysters, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it tastes like chicken. I didn't know what I was eating until they told me everything tastes like chicken.
Mountain oysters.
Yeah. Well, yes. And I actually had guinea pig in Peru when I was there many times. They didn't tell me that either. And
really?
That tastes, yeah, that's a big delicacy there, and I didn't know, and it tastes like chicken to me. And they're like, and it's like, no, no, it's.
Guinea
it's
pig.
Not chicken. It's guinea pig. Big delicacy in Peru.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, it's a little bit chewier than chicken is, but yeah, it's not bad. I actually had alligator in Florida.
Oh,
so,
you did.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good.
By the way, the crawfish is like almost $40 for a basket.
Oh my God.
So that's why I kind of did this instead.
Okay. Now, what was this other one here that you had?
Catfish.
Oh, catfish. Okay.
Catfish and gators. I love catfish.
Okay. Yeah, catfish.
I like cats.
Catfish is
I like,
good.
Yeah. I like fish.
Yeah, fisher.
Look at.
But not the both of them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, you know, catfish to look at too. It's all good though. How is it?
Not
it
bad.
Tastes like chicken?
No. Tastes like horse.
The churro didn't taste like chicken. It was
that's
sweet.
That's a positive.
It's always a positive. Sweet.
That was really good, the churro. That actually took me to my childhood.
Yeah.
That really did. That was a really
growing
good
up, a lot of churros for you.
Oh.
Especially
we all
at,
have
the,
that.
At the Cerritos Mall years ago.
Oh.
There was a place that that's all they made. And there was like these little figurines, looked like L's, whatever. Like one was like spinning the batter and stuff, whatever. And that's all that place made. And from, I think, the time that, God, like I was two or three up until I think my mid-teens or whatever, until they revamped the whole area, that place was there. My grandfather would take me there all the time.
So
and the
sweet
cool thing is that the sugar, you could have like vanilla or chocolate or cinnamon.
Oh.
So they had different flavors.
Didn't know that.
So not just the regular, you know, sugar.
Cinnamon
thing.
Sugar.
Yeah, whatever. You can choose your flavors that you want and everything. And it was good.
They are good. No, they are good. I mean, they're especially if you're into sugar, if you like sugar, yeah. They're good.
So this weekend is such a huge freaking weekend. Obviously, we're broadcasting live here from the Long Beach Seafood Festival. But today is also the Kentucky Derby.
I know.
Yeah.
My husband's taking my dad and my oldest son to a place called Sammy's in Lake Forest to actually be there and bet. Because you can bet there. So.
Okay. Yeah. We were debating whether or not to go to Los Amigos Racetrack.
Really?
And watch it there.
Oh.
You know.
So kind of get the environment.
Right.
It's immersive.
Yeah.
You have to wear a hat or we're right next door to hats.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of hats over here. So was that a big thing for you to watch it every year too? Or?
Okay, here's the deal with that. Being, again, having to explain sort of my transition is I grew up going to, my dad grew up going to dog races in South Dakota. I didn't know what they were doing to the dogs or whatever. And then Kirk loved horse, my husband, horse races. And so in Vegas and all that, we did that. Hey, and then... And then I became a little more in tune to, the reason that I became vegan is just because simply I can feel a little bit more of the soul of the animal and I can feel stuff, I can feel, like I'm not tapping into any of that, but I'm saying that in general. So for me, it's harder to support that in myself. It's harder for me to watch that. However, it's totally, people do what they need to do. So that's my place now. So for me, the animals are much more of a soulful connection to me than something like racing. But I did grow up. Going to hearing about dog races at Sod Rec Park in Sioux City, Iowa. So that's how I grew up.
That's one thing I haven't had a chance to see was the dog races, but
I hope you never do.
Yeah.
I think they're almost gone, if not gone. I don't.
I think so.
Yeah, the greyhounds.
But I grew up with going to the racetrack all the time when I was younger.
With your dad?
No, with my grandfather.
Oh, your grandfather.
Again, my grandfather.
Greg,
yeah.
You have a lot of memories with your grandfather.
I do. Well, he lived until he was 98, so I had him for a long-ass time.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I love those
memories.
So,
and he retired, you know, at 65, so up until I think my middle school years, all the way through high school, you know, I had him in college and everything, so I was very fortunate. But no, we would go to Santa Anita, you know, and sometimes we would go to church functions there and to raise money for the church. Go figure.
Wait a second. What, like a gambling for the church?
Yeah. You know.
Wow.
Bingo wasn't enough.
Exactly.
You know. But I actually had a good handicap. You
really?
Know? Yeah. And what was funny is that my grandfather would read the papers, find out who the jockey is, and... You look at the stats or whatever. I would just look at the piece of paper and go, runs with win. I'll go with him.
As one does.
Yeah, and that's what I did. And my handicap was just phenomenal. My grandfather couldn't figure it out. You know, it was just a sense that I had or whatever with that. I go, no. He goes, you sure you want to do it? No, I'll go with that one or whatever. Okay. You know.
So you're gonna pass that down to your son?
I don't know. Hopefully, if he needs to. You know, I'm trying to actually show him how to play craps.
Oh, yeah.
So when he goes to Vegas, because craps, you have the best odds of winning money.
You do. You have to learn how to play craps. Yeah. It always freaks me out. I'm intimidated by it. But, yeah, you're right. That's the best one to do.
Well, I learned from a buddy of mine. You basically put your money on, was it the come bar line, I think it is, or the pass line?
Yeah.
And you put it there. And if as long as the shooter is good, you're going to keep winning. Then you can put a bet behind it, so you're doubling down. And as long as the rolls are good, you keep winning.
Well, that's where it comes in, if the rolls are good.
Right.
You have to like your dice.
Right.
Just like D&D.
Do you play craps, Catherine?
No.
No, you don't do that.
I have never played. I've been to Vegas once.
I play Yahtzee.
Woo! Yeah, I played Yahtzee. That's a good one. I could play play you and Yahtzee, yeah. Zach.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, so for me, that's one thing that I enjoy, or whatever. So I can't wait to go in and just, just reel it in, sit back with a, you know, a Mai Tai or whatever, and just let the money roll in.
Or the 50-50 creamsicle.
Oh, yes.
Tying it back.
So, but yeah, but Kentucky Derby, big deal today, too.
Yes, big deal. And listen, I appreciate the history and the culture of what that's all about. I totally do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the cool thing is that also three of the favorite horses are coming out of California.
I heard that on the radio this morning. Yeah. I forgot their names, but I did hear that.
I think runs with wind, runs fast, and holy shit is the other one. So, you know, I think that's what they are. I'm not too sure.
Unfortunately, I can't tell if you're joking because the names that people name their horses are something else,
right?
They are. Come on, move it. You know, you never know.
Yeah. That could be a horse's name.
Exactly.
Come on, move it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. But
are
think
you betting? Are you fine? Because you don't. Are you going to find a way? No. He's
no,
not.
Are you kidding?
No.
No. I'll give him a wooden nickel.
Yeah. He's okay. Oh, got that.
But it's another big day too because it is Star Wars Day.
Woo!
This I can get behind.
You're a Star Wars girl.
There we go. There we go.
John Williams, best.
Gotta love it. It's better than what the DJ's playing right now. I liked it when he had Sweet Home Alabama, but...
He's mixing it up. He's trying to be diverse and hit everybody in the crowd.
Don't be diverse.
Oh, my God.
You just want classic rock.
Classic rock all the way.
Classic rock that really rocks.
But no, Star Wars Day. So today's May the 4th.
Be with you.
Exactly. And tomorrow is Revenge of the...
5th.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, and
I'm
going to
let you guys just talk because I have never done Star Wars, never seen... I am one of those.
Are you
Tina Anderson? I'm not kidding. I'm out. I'm outed.
Really?
I am so outed.
Even if you just watched the first...
A little tiny bit of it with my kid once, like about 20 minutes of it. No.
What about the new ones?
No, I've not seen Star Wars.
Oh my
Don't
God,
hate
Tina.
Me. Don't haters. Go away. Go away.
At least you're just not jumping on the bandwagon for the sake of jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
I can support that.
I'm one of those. Like, I've been a Dallas Cowboy fan since I was a child. I've never jumped off, and I probably will never jump on Star Wars. But gosh darn it, it's cool that it's so whatever it is that people dress up and do their sword thing and...
Their sword thing.
Is that Chewbacca?
Yeah.
You just lost your Chewbacca.
Yeah, and that's just it. Peter Mayhew, who played the original Chewbacca, his last film that he did was The Force Awakens. And now there's a new kid that's taken over for him and everything. He wasn't a consultant, though, for the character on Solo and The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And we just lost Peter Mayhew. He was 74.
That's so young.
Yeah. But, the dude was 7'3". Good
no,
God,
No, he was
man.
Not.
Yes,
yeah.
He was.
Yeah, was.
Yeah, he was a tall gentleman.
I didn't... Wow.
That's so when that height difference, you know, if you ever see them, is... There's no stilts. There's no props or anything. That's literally their height difference. And I believe Carrie Fisher was 5'2", I think.
So now I probably should watch a little just so I can see that now. I will. I'll figure out a way.
Yeah. New Hope is the best, so...
Okay. New Hope.
A New Hope, yep.
A New Hope, and that's the new one.
No.
Oh, no.
No. That is the first one.
So the original film that came out.
Okay. I could do that. I can find it. I will. I'm into it. I'll find it.
Even in background.
Okay.
That way you can tune in, tune out.
I just love it because right now I'm seeing the wheels turn and Tina's head's going, okay, library? No, not library. Netflix? Maybe not Netflix.
Where do I find
HBO.
It? Exactly. Where do I find it? Okay, I'll look
Best
it up.
Buy.
I'll, go to I'll
Best,
Google
I'll,
it.
I'll go to Best Buy first.
Google
I'll, I'm going to Google it. And then go to Best Buy. Yeah, okay, that's what I'll do.
All I have to do is write something on like Facebook and like 20,000 Star Wars fans.
Right? We'll be like, oh, my
gosh. Here's where you find it, and here's what you never saw. It's all good. So anyway, I know.
Right.
I'm outed. What can I say?
I'm going to throw another one out.
Okay.
Princess Bride.
No, Princess Bride. Oh. No, Princess Bride. I am Loserville. Shoot.
Well, you're busy with your husband.
Darn it. That's right. I got stuff going on, my friends.
We make our own movies.
We have our own. I dress up in Princess Bride. I do my own Princess Bride.
I am a Princess Bride.
I am a Princess Bride.
I have a cape.
I do, too. It's velvet. It's real great.
Oh, my gosh. So good. All right. What else we got going on? So,
well, it is Cinco de Mayo, too, right?
Tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Yes. Tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo. So
yeah.
Another thing for a big weekend.
Yeah. Do you celebrate, you guys?
I do.
No.
I don't go out much. I know that sounds sad, but...
No, it's not sad.
See, I don't do Star Wars. That's pretty
sad. Last year, though, we actually drank on the show.
Did you?
Yeah. We drank on the show.
Like the Mark and Brian drinking show or just your own? Oh,
yeah.
You did do that.
Yeah, we did. We did.
And you had a ride home. Oh, of course, you didn't have to go anywhere.
We did at the house, so yeah.
That's right.
So
what am I thinking? That was easy.
But, I realized I want to do it again this year, but then I realized, oh, Zach booked us for this. So I'm like going, oh, we can't drink, though.
Not with that attitude.
Mexican hat dance.
But don't forget, tomorrow is also Brian Phelps' birthday.
That's true.
You know how old Brian's going to be?
No, I do not. He's, what,
yeah, five? That's right. That's how old Brian's turning.
What?
Oh.
There you go.
60.
I was just going to say, he's probably about 3 to 4 years older than me, and I'm 57, so yeah, 60.
Yeah, he'll be turning 60.
Well, from what I saw on the video from this show, he looks fantastic.
Yeah. He looks great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy,
yeah.
Fantastic.
I loved it or whatever, because I don't know if you saw it on Spectre video, the Spectre News or whatever, but Chuck Moshon surprised him.
Yes.
And the funny thing is that... you know, of course, there's a little bit of change with Chuck and a little bit of change with Mark, whatever.
Yeah.
And Brian made an announcement about that because Mark was basically saying, wow, you haven't changed. Like, actually, he has, yeah. Mark, you know. But and then Chuck kind of comes back saying to the fact of like, well, all of us old guys are just keep saying that to each other. And Brian steps in and kind of says, well, I actually do look the same. You guys, wow. You know.
Yeah, because you got to be honest, right? When someone shows up and they have obviously changed, you can't be like, wow.
What happened?
You, wow, yeah.
Yikes.
So, life. Wow. Lots of life going on with you. Life. Been going through life. So.
Pro tip, do not say that to people. Please do not say that to people.
Yeah, there was a gal that I had a crush on in high school, and we actually grew up together because we went to parochial school, and then we went continued on in high school. Didn't see her for a number of years after we graduated. Saw her for our 10-year, and she lost so much weight, I thought she was sick.
Oh, was she sick?
No.
Oh, because sometimes...
She just lost the weight. Yeah. You know, but it was like that much. Oh, what happened? Oh, go eat something, you know.
So it was the opposite.
Yeah. I almost felt like I was looking at, like, skeleton, you know, with skin on it, and that was it.
Ouch.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I actually thought she was sick, you know, but she
Can I just interrupt you? I think that hat for him is very nice.
I
think
I like
good.
That hat, yeah.
We like, we're just
I like that,
both that both one. Yeah. I like that. You
yeah,
know
that's
what?
Good.
It's fun. It's very fun. I like that one.
Yeah, go with that one.
Huh? The pot, what is the pot?
There's a sign right in front of you.
Yeah.
That's all right.
That's okay.
It's okay. We don't mind.
It's okay. Yeah. Thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guys are looking good over there, by the way.
Yeah.
We're looking at two gentlemen that are trying on hats that are like, what would you call that? I don't know. Is that a plaid hat?
Yeah, it's kind of like a semi-plaid, yeah.
That one's houndstooth, and that one is...
What? How do you know that?
Houndstooth?
Houndstooth.
Yeah, that's houndstooth.
That's houndstooth?
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, my new co-host,
Catherine,
look at that. Look at that, showing off her intelligence over there.
There's a houndstooth. That's houndstooth. Does he know that? What's the other one called?
The other one is... It looks like a straw, but I can't tell right now.
Oh, houndstooth, so it's made
the,
out of...
That's the pattern.
It's the pattern. So it's not made out of that straw. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that right. looks like more of a polyester.
Okay, well, I'm
sorry.
I love it. Now, you know, just so you know now you know something new about
Catherine. I learned something today.
So now you can show her a picture of a hat and say, okay, what is it? And then, I love hats.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. I love the fact that new co-host now has got, like, you know.
Fashion taste?
Not only that, but teaching us shit. I love it.
My thing are glasses. I got a sunglasses thing. That's like my only expensive accessory.
Looking
if anybody
good,
cares.
Gentlemen.
Looks good, guys.
Looks good.
All right. Well, you know what? I think now we need a little bit of class and culture and for the show right now. So something that we like to call simply pocket-sized cinema.
I didn't know my part.
That's okay. See how it starts already?
It's this unrehearsed, guys.
Does this bring
usual.
Back memories?
Yes,
what,
it
Gina?
Does.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Pocket Size Cinema. We're caught up to the music there. There we go. Today's feature is entitled A Mother's Moment. The Mother's Moment. mother's moment.
See, just like Brian. We opened. Yes, we opened when a mother was driving her daughter to her friend's house for a play date. The daughter then begins to ask her mother some very intimate questions. So let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy a mother's moment.
Mommy, how old are you?
Honey, you're not supposed to ask a lady her age. It's not polite.
Oh, okay. How much do you weigh?
Now, really, that's a personal question and really none of your business.
Okay. Why did you and Daddy get a divorce?
That's enough questions, young lady. Honestly.
The mother and daughter arrive at a play date's home. The mother left the two children alone and returned to pick up her daughter later that afternoon.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Taylor. Are you okay? You look a little sad.
My mom won't tell me anything about her, like her age or weight or anything.
Huh. Well, all you need to do is look at her driver's license, and it's like a report card. It's got everything on it. Later that night, the little girl approached her mother with her newfound information.
I know how old you are, Mom. You're 32, and I found out that you weigh 130 pounds.
How in heaven's name did you find that out?
And I know why you and Daddy got a divorce.
Oh, really? Why?
Because you got an F in sex.
And that's how you do a joke.
Yeah. There you go.
That's how you do a bit.
Ha 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 ha.
That's a budget.
I got an F in sex. I like that.
Yeah, well, hey.
It's like a report card.
I heard today I was in spin class and I was telling people, because I have to say this, like, don't text. And if you're going to do weird things on the bike, go on outside, because I don't do funky stuff like push-ups. And finally someone goes.
Funky stuff like push-ups?
Yeah, people do that. They're like, gosh, rude. I said, I'm not being rude. I said, you know, I'm bold. And I said, you know, I'm blunt, and that's how God rolled me.
I like to smoke that one real quick.
Light it up. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
And then some people looked at me like, I go, blunt? You know, like, they still looked at me. I go, oh, God, okay,
you're
never
like,
mind.
Now I have to explain.
Well, you were in Mission Viejo, you know, so, yeah.
I was in Mission Viejo. Like,
as
whatever.
If those people don't know.
Oh, come on.
They do other things.
All you have to do is.
I know, I've been to those parties,
mention
too.
Mention a little something, and they're like, oh, do you have anything? I mean, all you have to do is open that window, and they're going to ask you, oh, come on. You know,
you're like, no, it was, okay.
You guys know who I, you know I'm talking to you, most of you guys, come on. It's so prevalent now, everywhere I go. They're like, does your son have anything upstairs? I'm like, okay.
Oh my God, really?
Oh no, oh I've had that happen before. You got any smoke up there? You got any medicinal? I'm like, okay, just ask me, because I mean,
straight,
why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Just straight out ask.
You know, Zach was nice enough, because,
hi.
Last month, for 420.
You are.
For 420. Zach was nice enough to bring us some edibles.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Did you? Okay.
And oh, yeah, we want to.
You ate them.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can bring them and just look at them.
Oh, no.
Well, no, you got to try them.
You got to try them. Oh, no.
What kind were they? Were they like brownies or? Because there's Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies.
Brownies. I think I brought a brownie.
I don't know about this personally. I've just heard. So brownies. Rice Krispies.
Nice same. Cover.
Same. Absolutely.
I've read about them.
Gummy bears.
Internet.
Gummy worms.
Internet, yeah.
That's the thing that's amazing me now with the edibles is like they're coming in candy.
Oh, they're
now.
Candy, yeah. You got to be careful.
Yeah,
be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you'll start.
You'll eat too
from
much.
From what I'm understanding
exactly.
About this, you eat too much and
exactly.
Then
you get a tummy ache.
It's mild
well,
tummy ache.
You get and you can get like the whole anxiety and weird stuff that happens when you're, you know.
But that happens to me every day without them. So
well, there you go.
Yeah, that's
see,
why.
Then maybe you don't need.
That's why I take them. It helps calm me down. That way things look a little bit more normal for me
right?
too.
Well, I always say that this didn't happen to me, but hypothetically speaking, if it did, and I did. Take too much and just thought I would try it for fun and then I had to run up the block and up and down because I got too much energy and clean my house at 11 o'clock at night and then I fully fell asleep on the couch. That hypothetically could happen.
Okay.
If you have too much and you're just like, this is weird. I don't know what happened to me.
You can hypothetically.
Hypothetically, that could happen to you.
Yeah. So hypothetically, you could be a hummingbird and think you're in your front yard, hypothetically.
Yes, hypothetically, yeah. Catherine.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Yes,
hypothetically, okay. Ran up and down the stairs all the time, and yeah, you know, and just like, no, 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 it's okay.
Oh, gosh. Gosh darn it.
So, yeah.
Kids these days.
Are we having anybody else come over and visit us?
You know what?
Or?
We're supposed to have El Gavanader food truck, but they are a little busy right now. I think they got a bit of a crowd, so we may or may not get to them. Just
waiting. Well, good for
back.
Them. Good for them for having a crowd.
We're happy they're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, exactly.
Yeah, no, seriously. But we may or may not get to them, so if we run out of time, then we'll just we'll go visit them after.
Okay, that sounds good. We could definitely do that. So,
dead air, come on.
No, I love it. I'm looking at Catherine right now, and she's like finger dancing.
Oh, she's finger dancing.
I love it.
I'm head bobbing.
And you're head bobbing.
We're grooving.
We are.
Having fun.
It's not classic rock, but it's a little R&B, which I like.
So, all right, so have you guys, either of you two, have been down to the aquarium, though? Or?
Yes, I've been to the aquarium. It's incredible.
Once.
Yeah. Once?
Yeah.
I'm not from here.
Took my kids.
Well, I know.
Oh, that's right. Where are you from?
I'm from San Diego.
Oh, you are from San Diego.
Yeah, she's
you're
got bigger
here.
Fish down there.
Yeah, but I live up here now, but I am from San Diego, but I don't get out much.
Okay.
Well, when was the last time that you were at the aquarium, Tina?
At least, let's see, my kids, 22, 17, 16. Oh, God, at least 7 years ago. Okay. Yeah, probably about 7-8 years ago when they were younger.
3 years ago, I believe.
You went in?
Yeah.
That's cool. A little bit of trivia about that building. It opened up on Father's Day.
That's cute. Did
nice.
You go?
I went. That year
with,
it opened.
With your father or grandfather?
With my dad.
Oh, with your dad this
with
time.
With my
okay.
dad this time, yeah.
Mixing it up.
Yeah, mix it up a little bit. And, yeah, I don't remember what year exactly opened, but I remember it opened up on Father's Day, and I took my dad down, and we got to walk around on it and everything. So
that's fun. It's a beautiful place.
It is really cool, and they do try to keep it up and try and change things around and everything and so forth. So I think the last time I was there was probably about a couple of years ago with my son. And I love going to the aquariums no matter where.
How old is your son now? 11.
Tina?
No.
He's 12. Now 14.
He's 14. Oh, you're in the 14s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you trying to set traditions, too, like with your grandfather?
In what aspect?
Well, like, I thought I was going to try. I was going to try to do traditional stuff, right? Like, oh, my kids and I did this every year and all that stuff. And then it didn't work out. And I feel like, did my kids have memories like mom and I? You know, I have two boys. And I didn't really, the only funny memories we have, we do have some funny ones, but I thought I was going to, I had this whole idea in my mind I was going to set that up, right? Like this thing, like, oh, my mom and I, or we always, and it just didn't. I know it's okay, but I kind of wanted to do that, like have a thing like you and your grandfather.
We don't have necessarily traditions, though, but, I mean, there are certain aspects or certain things that, yes, I did want to show him. Certain things growing up of where my father or my grandfather took me to something.
Yeah.
So I have taken him to those things.
Okay.
But not necessarily a traditional thing, per se, like every year we do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But just the aspect of also just trying to do things together in general. Catherine and I, we were talking about it on the car, on the drive over here. I'm trying to get a little bit more active so I can lose a little bit more weight now and everything. So the other day we went to Target, bought a basketball. And so we had dinner and everything, but then it started to get a little late. And he goes, well, come on, Dad, let's go. You know, and I'm going, well, I don't know. I started to come up with excuses. And so this is about the fourth or fifth time, especially now that we bought a basketball, like that day. And I could just see the disappointment in him. And I went, you know what? No, he's right. If we can go out for 20 minutes or a half an hour, we're good. And so, yeah, sure enough, we went over to the basketball courts. We played for about half an hour. I could not keep up with him. So I'm going, okay, I got to find a good cardio exercise to build up to this shit now. You know, but it's those things that I want him to remember, you know, that, yeah, I got
you're
to
available.
Do, yeah, that I you're did this
available.
With my dad.
Memories
I did that with
too,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, of where he can pass on later on to his kids of, yeah, my dad did this with me. I want to make sure I'm available for my kids to do whatever they want, you know.
Yeah.
So to me, I think that's most important than trying to set up a traditional thing.
Yeah. Maybe that's why it didn't work for me either. I think availability. Do you have anything with your parents? Anything?
Just holiday time.
Yeah.
Just basically getting together with my extended family on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, we have our little more immediate family, but it's still 19 people.
Oh,
so, oh wow.
Yeah, it's my mom's family, but it's always nice, and I was able to go home last year for the first time in a very long time, so I got to celebrate both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with my family. But the similar thing, I know my mom and I haven't had a chance to bond as much as she probably like or as I probably like. So what I did was said, Mom, let's go to Coachella, might as well.
What?
And my mom is a very, you know, conservative, headstrong, really strong woman. And she was like, sure, let's go. And
wow.
We went to Coachella in 2013,
what?
Just the two of us. And, you know, when I was at home recovering from surgery, I was recounting some of the memories that I had. And I told her, you know, this is some of the best times that I've had. Like, these are memories that I will hold on to for the rest of my life. And it was really sweet. It was a bonding moment. And we've definitely got closer over the years. So it was nice to be able to recount some of those times together and see from her perspective. So at the end of the day, it's memories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and to me, those are the ones that count. It's not like, you know, like trying to create a tradition of a thing or whatever. It's like I got to take my son fishing with a couple of his friends not that long ago. We didn't catch shit,
yeah.
You know. but at least he has that. And it's like, okay, well, we'll try it again. And then we'll try it again, next season or whatever. If we catch something, great. If we don't, fine, you know. And I was thinking, like, oh, my God, when was the last time I actually did catch a rainbow trout and bring it home and cut it and open it? And I'm better off if we didn't catch it, you know?
Yeah, fishing is so much about your time together.
I'll be doing that next month.
You'll be doing what?
You'll be doing that next month?
I'm going camping next month at Kern River.
Oh, nice.
Don't worry, I'll be back for the show. I'm going during the week.
Damn it. Okay.
But, yeah, I learned how to carve a fish and all that when I was about 8 years old with my grandpa and all that, and still know how to do it and planning on doing it.
Well, there you go. I grew up fishing, too. My dad used to do that all the time, make me help him. Scarred me once because I could open a fish with a bunch of babies. And that was the end of that. That's where it all started. That's where it all started.
There you go.
See, I hooked my friend fishing once in the arm.
Ow.
Oh, boy.
I felt bad.
Oh.
I was also six.
I have a pseudo sister. God bless her. And she lives up in Northern California and near Folsom Prison. And there was one year. She went on vacation with my folks and I, and she's an only child also. And we went fishing up at Convent Lake up in Mammoth. And so my dad and I are out there. We're casting, and we've got a couple of poles that are just sitting to kind of catch the trout or whatever. And then I'm doing a rooster tail, which means you have to cast and then reel it in because as it spins through the water, it attracts the fish. Well, I see her. I know hers is just a cast out and leave it there. But every 5 minutes or so, I'm seeing her cast out again. And I'm going, what the hell is going on? So I walk over to her. And I'm like, you okay? And she goes, yeah. I go, well, you keep casting out. She goes, I know, but I'm almost out of worms, too. I'm like, well, what are you doing? And she goes, well, I'm the worm keeps flying off of the hook. And I'm like, well, how are you putting it on? And this is what they call a treble hook. So it's like three hooks that come out.
Yes,
you know?
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about.
She was wrapping worm around the hook.
That's
just
so
literally,
innocent.
Literally wrapping.
Try not to stab it.
Yeah. And this is a girl who
wanted alive
is,
to feed the fish.
But this is a girl who's very tomboyish, though. Okay? I mean, very tomboyish. And just wrapping around. And then she would cast it out. Well, the hook went one direction, the worm went another direction. I'm laughing my ass off at this point right now. My dad's wondering what the hell I'm laughing at. All I could do is be on the ground and point at her and laugh. And my dad then sees what she's doing wrong. And just that fatherly look of like, kind of like Tom Bosley did on Happy Days, just that,
yes.
Oh, Richard, you know, kind of a thing, whatever. My dad did one of those, and he goes, no, you actually have to put the hook through the worm. And all of a sudden, the girl in her came out. Oh, that's gross.
Aww.
Yeah.
So much for that.
Yeah.
She probably never went fishing again.
Actually, she caught three fish that day. We didn't catch anything.
Karma. Yep.
So,
she saved some worms.
Yeah.
How did your friend end up? How did you get the hook out?
It was a
pulled
summer
it real
camp.
Hard.
Well, because
And you could explain, if you've never fished, you don't know what a hook looks like. You don't just pull it out.
Yeah.
You can't.
We
like,
did.
Right.
You know, you did.
We were six at a summer camp, and we didn't want to get in trouble.
Oh,
and
you pulled the hook out.
He was a sweetie. Oh, so he was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. I've got this. And he was like, and then he like pulled it out and then was like,
with half
I'm
skin.
Okay. Are you okay? I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry that I was standing behind you. I was like, oh my gosh,
That's like getting like stapling yourself. That's like stapling your finger, right? Getting a hook in, like stapled fingers and stuff. Oh.
I haven't talked to him in years, but I don't even know if he still remembers it.
I wonder
but
if he has a mark on his arm because, you know, the hook digs in. If you guys don't know, just look up a hook. You'll see. Yeah. They don't. They're
it's a barb.
Yeah, they're set up to stay
to go
in.
One direction, and
yes,
that's it.
Yes, and not bad. Oh, you know what their hooks are like? It's like when you go through a gate guard, and those little things come up for the tires and say, don't back up.
Right.
Because you'll blow. That's what a hook is.
Yeah, it'll blow
exactly.
your skin out instead
anyway,
of
anyway, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Memories. Anyway, I don't know how we got on that, but anyway.
as
but
we here
have,
we are.
As well, we have catfish seafood. Right in front of us, too.
Yeah, we're seafood.
Yeah, because there you go. We're at the seafood.
It's a seafood festival. So that's why it basically came up, because we need to.
So let's go ahead and play the game.
Ooh, a game.
You remember this?
Oh, look, is this a trivia game that I'm terrible at?
Yes.
Oh,
it's called
Quiz Me. Quiz You.
Trivia.
Me too.
My brain freezes.
It's all right.
I know history, and that's about it.
My brain freezes.
It's okay. I got some Star Wars ones.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Oh,
I will make them all.
Tina's
that
out.
Way.
Pass.
But I got some ones we all can enjoy. So let's begin with question number one.
So how does this work, actually?
Name is your buzzer. Name is your buzzer.
Okay.
And so if you think you know what it is, just call out your name, and Zach will call on you.
Sounds easy enough.
What is the name of the Wookiee's homeworld?
Catherine.
Kashyyyk. That is correct.
What was that question about?
The Wookiee? Star Wars?
It's a Star Wars, okay, yeah. It's a Star Wars question. See, I didn't even know what that was about. I'm like, what? I don't know what that is.
Okay, now I also got Cinco de Mayo questions. So Cinco number two.
Cinco number two?
Came out wrong. What are the colors of the Mexican flag?
Catherine.
Sean.
Catherine.
Red, white, and green.
That is correct.
No, that's the Italian flag.
She's fast.
It is both, except there is an emblem in the center.
I know, just trying to throw you off.
Come at me.
Okay, question
I'm going to look progressively dumb. As they call the kids call it, stoops.
Question
I'm going to be progressively sounding looking stoops. Okay,
I sit on the stoops.
Okay. Yeah.
Look, there's Waldo.
I'm going to do an easy one. Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right. What famous blonde bombshell was fired from the last movie she ever worked on?
Wow, blonde.
Famous Tina.
Sean.
Marilyn Monroe.
That is correct.
Whoa. Oh.
What?
You were just
I'm
saying.
I'm not as stoops as I feel.
That's because you're a bombshell yourself,
oh,
girl.
Baby.
Okay, question number four. All right, here's another one, kind of similar. Victoria's Secret and most lingerie and swimwear brands borrowed whose homemade designs?
And right about there, we kind of went off the air, basically, because we lost all of our power. So if you wonder what happened, that's exactly what happened. So anyway, just want to say thank you so much for our guest that we had on, Dale from Pearson Winery, and also Isabella from Inglorious Funnels. We had a blast with those two, and good God, the food was good, the drinks was good, and everything. So we really appreciate it, and thank you to the guys over there at the Long Beach Seafood Festival. We had a wonderful time. They gave us a great view and everything. Nice spot. A lot of people walking around. And for those who came up and said hello to us, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And not only that, though, thank you to Tina Anderson for coming on up from Mission Viejo, our spiritual coach, for co-hosting it with me. And also my friend, Catherine Heflin, who also came in and co-hosted. Because Steve was still out. Steve's up in Utah still. But he'll be back next week. And we can't hear all the good things that he has to say about his daughter graduating and getting her master's degree. So in the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. And at least we hope you guys had one by the time you hear it. And we will catch you next week for Zach's birthday show. So take care and goodbye, world. I want to be a Jedi. Junkyard slave isn't even old enough to shave, but he can use the force, they say. Do you see him hitting on the queen, though he's just
14, yeah, he's probably gonna marry her someday. Well, I know he builds C-3PO, and I've heard how fast his pod can go. And we were broke, it's true, so we made a wager or two. Ooh, he was a prepubescent flying ace, and the minute Jabba started off that race, well, I knew who would win first place. Oh, yes, it was. Now we finally got to chorus on the
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.